Good morning. Today's Daf in the Dar Mem Tas. We are at the top of the Amud. In fact, we're starting today the sixth parak of the Masechta. So here we are now, continuing our trek along the Masechta Nedarim. And here in the sixth parak, we're going to go over definitions of a neder. You know the rule. In fact, the Gemara is going to say it today, and that is that when it comes to a Nedarim, Hochanach Aloshem Bnei Adam. I make a neder, and in my neder, I'm incorporating things that are going to be prohibited to me. So what things do I mean? I mean what I say. I say what I mean. But the definitions of word are based on current definitions, and it's not going to be based on any kind of older definition. Even if, right, let's say it, and we're going to see it so clearly in today's daf, even if that older definition comes from the Torah, meaning let's say the Torah has a prescribed definition of what a word means, that's not going to be the guidelines in terms of a neder. Because a neder, once again, a basic rule in Bayin Adarim, and that is that libo v'piv v'shaven. There has to be agreement between that which you think and that which you articulate. And the articulation is going to be based on current understanding of the words that are coming out of our mouths. And so therefore, when it comes to a neder, we go after Lashon B'nai Adam. We do not follow Lashon HaTorah. Gemara is going to make that point extraordinarily clear today. And that is going to be a guiding light in terms of getting through these Mishnayos. Meaning we're going to be seeing numerous Mishnayos over here in this parak. That's going to give us example after example of, here's what I said, here's what's incorporated in my neder, and again, it's going to be Lashon B'nai Adam, right? It's fair to argue, and Rishonim say this, and it's fair to argue that the Mishnah obviously is good for the time of the Mishnah, meaning that once Lashon B'nai Adam changes, so then obviously the Nedarim, the definitions of Nedarim are going to change as well, based on what is current usage of the language, right? That's a pretty reasonable point. But anyway, that's the Chiddush. So over here, in the course of these Mishnayos, here in the sixth parak, so we're going to get a taste of, and I mean that over here almost literally, we're going to get a taste of exactly what are the words that are used and what's meant by those words that are used. So here we go. We begin. So the Mishnah starts off, Hanoder min mavushal. So let's say that's it. You're done with cooked foods, all right? I've had it with cooked foods. So mutter b'tzli uvishalok. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to eat tzli and shalok. So in terms of preparations of food, so basically there are more than three ways, but for the purpose of Mishnah, let's call them three ways in which foods are prepared. So tzli obviously is roasted, and, right? Probably we're talking here about meats. So tzli is roasted. So that we're familiar with. In other words, that's over an open fire. So mevushal is cooked. It's cooked in a liquid. Again, that's pretty clear. What about shaluk? So there's a general usage of the word shaluk, and then there's a word shaluk over here in our Masechta, in our Perek. So, and the Ron makes this point, and I'm just speaking out the Ron right now. And that is that when we're talking about shaluk, generally speaking, shaluk is used to describe something that is overcooked. So the Ron says that's true, but that's not what we mean over here. Over here in our Perek, when we say the word shaluk, we mean that it's partially cooked. Okay? So in other words, rare, if you will. Okay? Whatever. Something along those lines. So let's say that you make a neder, you're not going to be eating mavushal anymore. So that means that the manner of preparation is that if it was cooked in a liquid, fully cooked, then it's going to be aser. But if it was roasted over an open fire, that's tzli. Alternatively, if it was partially cooked, so then that would be fine. Okay, good. So amr konin tafshal sheni toim. So let's say that you're not going to eat tafshal anymore. Okay, so mevushal is the manner in which it's cooked. Tafshal is a description, is a description of a certain food. So you say you're not going to be eating tafshal anymore. So aser b'maisa kedera rach. So what you can't do is eat a maisa kedera. Maisa kedera basically are all different types of grains that are cooked, cooked grains, right? Hot cereal, if you want to just get a mental picture of maisa kedera. So so aser b'maisa kedera is rach, mutter b'ava. So if it's soft, so then no. But if it's av, if it's thick, then yes. The Gemara is going to give us a little bit better definition in terms of what exactly is the distinction between that which is thick and that which is thin. Okay, well, other way around, that which is thin, that which is thick. We'll wait for just a couple minutes from now in which we're going to see the Gemara. It's going to give us a little bit better definition. Umutu bebeitza tarmuta. Now, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to eat beitza tarmuta. And ubedlasa ramutza, you're also allowed to eat lasa ramutza. Okay, so beitza tarmuta, let's start there. So beitza tarmuta, so the Ron over here gives a detailed description. So, and it's based on the Gemara that we're going to be seeing in tomorrow's daf. And that is that it's an egg that was cooked. Now, I don't know if we're here in the world of hyperbole, but it was cooked, right? The Ron writes this. It was cooked 1,000 times. It was cooked 1,000 times, cooled 1,000 times. Basically, what we're describing over here is a hard-boiled egg, but the way the Ron's describing it, it's much more than a hard-boiled egg. And what do? You eat it independent of bread. You're not eating it with bread. So basically, when you're saying tafshal, what we're looking to describe over here is something that is normally normally eaten with bread. So the so when you eat something with normally with bread, something's accompanying bread, so that is included, incorporated in your neder. And if it's not eaten with bread, so then it would be mutter. So this egg that's hard-boiled, and again, I'm using the word hard-boiled over here just because that's what you and I are used to, but when you have a hard-boiled egg, so you'll eat your hard-boiled egg without bread. But in other words, if you have your if your eggs are scrambled or, you know, with their sunny side up, so who doesn't eat it without bread? Okay, the answer would be me, but that's neither here nor there. So in other words, but you would, you know, the typically was eaten with bread, so that's included in the neder. Tavshil is usually something that accompanies bread. Delas haremutza. So the so it's a kind of gourd. It comes from a certain location. So in other words, that is not included in the term tavshil. Hanoder mimaisa kedera in aser ela mimaisa risachta. If you make a neder on maisa kedera. So far we had in our mishnah the manner in which you cooked it. That's minim mevushal. We have tavshil. And now we're up to the term Maisa Kedera. So you make a neder on Maisa Kedera. So that only prohibits you from that which is fully cooked in the pot. So Amar Konim Hayora LeKedera Sheinitoim. So also Bechol Mizbashim BeKedera. So, but if your neder says, if your neder includes Yored LeKedera, so anything going into the pot, so even if it is, I hope I got this one right, pot roast, right? In other words, pot roast is something that's typically cooked in a pot but without liquid. So when you say anything that goes into the pot, it would include even something like a pot roast. Okay. So again, all these examples here in the Mishnah are basically following the guidelines of that when it comes to a neder, you're holchin achaloshim b'nei adam. So Tanya, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Afa Pishein Raila Dover, Zech LaDover. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, the Shita Rabbi Yoshi, and that is that, look, let me cite to you a pasuk. And that is, Shenemar, Vayivash LaPesach Beish Kamishpat. Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, describing the Karban Pesach. So, the pasuk describes what are we going to do with the Karban Pesach? So we're going to, now the Lashon of the Navi is, we're going to be Mevashal it. We're going to cook it. Okay, we all know, right? We've gone through Pesachim before, there's an entire Perek in Pesachim dedicated to this one topic, and that is that the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. And you don't have to quote a Gemara in Pesachim, meaning it's a pasuk in the Torah. Ki im sli eish. Karban Pesach has to be roasted. It can't be cooked. In fact, if the Karban Pesach is cooked, it's pasul. It's disqualified. So it's interesting. It's curious that the Navi in Divrei Hayamim, when describing the Karban Pesach, says that's mevushal. So obviously the Navi does not mean mevushal, meaning what the Navi's doing is it's just simply using the term mevushal, and it's using it loosely. And that mevushal over there means sli. It means that it's roasted. It just happens to be that the term mevushal is in fact going to be used to describe sli. Okay. What Rabbi Yoshia now is doing is that he's saying that pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and he's showing us that, look, even though we know the Karban Pesach was roasted, we know that, but by virtue of the fact that the Navi uses the words mevushal, that means it gives us definition to the word, what the word mevushal means. Mevushal could also mean roasted. Obviously, then Rabbi Yoshia is not on board with our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah says that when you say mevushal, a noder min a mevushal, so you're allowed to eat roasted foods. So obviously Rav Yoshi is not in agreement with our Mishnah. That's fine. Okay. So, what would then be the guidelines over here? Well, in just a moment, the Gemara is going to be magdir that Rav Yoshi isn't really following the Lashon of the Navi, but okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. And Rabbi Kiva Eger here is just bothered by the fact that we're looking for a pasuk in somewhere in Tanakh that tells us that the Karban Pesach was cooked, even though again we know it wasn't cooked. We know it was roasted. It has to be roasted. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, you know, there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, meaning tucked away in Divrei Hayamim, right? Again, I'm not proud of this, but I don't know Divrei Hayamim. So the tucked away in Divrei Hayamim, we have a pasuk describing Bishul. Tucked away. It's not tucked away. It's in Parshas Re'eh. So we have a pasuk describing the Karban Pesach being mevushal. So Rabbi Kiva Eger wants to know, well, how come the Gemara didn't quote from Parshas Re'eh, which, you know, at least I'd have a little more familiarity with. But okay, anyway, good. And answers are given. But in the meantime, however, what we have over here is a brisa, and in the brisa, so what Rabbi Yoshi is doing is he's pointing to Psukim in Tanakh, and in the Psukim in Tanakh, you see the word mevushal is describing roasted foods. You see that the word mevushal can include roasted foods. So lema b'hakam efligei. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a machlokas between our Mishnah and the Braisa Rabbi Yoshia. So the Gemara says, good, I'm going to say pshat. And pshat is going to sound like this. Rabbi Yoshi, savar halacha chaloshen Torah. And Vitali Dilan, savar nedarim halacha chaloshen bnei Adam. Meaning, what's going to serve as definition for the words? So is the definition of the words going to be Tanakh, or is the definition of the words going to be Lashon Bnei Adam, the current understanding of language? So the Gemara says, well, now the Gemara says, okay, that was a nice try, but no, that's not the machlokas. The Kuli Amad Nedarim Halacha Lashon Bnei Adam. So the Gemara here, is, and if I'm not mistaken, this is now going to be the second time in the Masechta, that the Gemara says it categorically, they're lace man de palag, nobody's arguing on this very basic principle. That when it comes to Nedarim, Halacha Lashon Bnei Adam, even if Tanakh is giving us what seems to be a different definition, doesn't matter. Meaning, you'll read Tanakh. You'll learn Tanakh, and you'll learn Tanakh obviously correctly. But in terms of what is going to be guiding a neder, it's going to be current usages of the word. Okay, the Gemara says it. I believe the Gemara said it earlier. The Gemara says it in today's daf so clearly. And leis man depalag. Nobody argues on that. And over here, so then new. So what's the machlokus over here? So the Gemara says, Amar ki asrei v'asra detana dilan. And it just happens to be a location issue. Meaning, depending on where you live, sometimes tzli is referred to as roasted and just roasted. And sometimes mevushal can include both roasted and cooked. And it just depends on where you lived. And it's not an exciting way to explain the machlokas between the Tanakama of our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah and Rabbi Yoshia. Admittedly, it's not super exciting. It just happens to be that in different locales, they have different understandings of the word. And again, everything is going to be guided on the current usage of the word. So the Gemara says, good, did you read the Braisa carefully? Meaning when Rabbi Yoshia cited a proof to his position, he cited a pasuk in Tanakh. So the Gemara says, Asmachta ba'alma. Gemara says, yeah, I heard. I know he quoted a pasuk. So the pasuk just served as an Asmachta ba'alma. In other words, that wasn't the source of his halacha. It's just new. It's a way to help us remember. Right? How do I remember that when we say the word mevushal, it includes even roasted foods? Oh, just remember that pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, because everybody knows the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, almost everybody. So the, okay, good. So what do we have over here? When it comes to Nedarim, halacha achar lashon b'nei Adam. Good, that's a yesod, that's a basic fundamental principle when it comes to Nedarim. And so therefore, again, everything we're learning in the course of today's daf and really here in the sixth parak is that really we're looking at common understandings of the words that are used, again, at the writing of the time of the Mishnah. The Ran over here does quote a Yerushalmi. It seems to be, right, I said it emphatically just a couple minutes ago, leis man depalag, nobody argues on this, meaning no one's going to be losing Tanakh to give us definitions of the word. So the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi, it seems like it's a machlokas, right? In other words, and here in the Bavli, right, we're learning the Bavli. So here in the Bavli, leis man depalag, right? And for a moment, the Gemara entertained the idea that maybe this is a machlokas. The Gemara says it's not. So it's true, the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, yeah, it is a machlokas, whether or not halacha chaloshem b'nei Adam, or Tanakh is going to be the definition of words. Okay, anyway, we continue. Konim tafshel. When you say that you're not eating tafshel, so this is going to be the second example of our Mishnah. Example number one of the Mishnah is mevushal. So mevushal are cooked foods, and again, that excludes roasted and excludes par-cooked, par-boiled. So the over here now, the next example of the Mishnah is you make a konim on tafshel. So what's tafshel? So basically anything that accompanies bread. So it's got to be something soft, right? Runny eggs, if you will. So v'ha mitavshel nadar. So the Gemara says, okay, but you said the word tafshel. So Amar Abaye, haitana kol midi demesachel be'rifta tafshel karelei. So again, so Abaye says, good. So now we're going to say that the current understanding of the word tafshel is anything that is eaten together with bread. Meaning the word tafshel literally means something cooked. But okay, good. That's what it literally means. But again, we're talking about Nedarim over here. We don't want the literal meaning of the word. We want its usage. How is the word used? The word is used in the context of something that is eaten together with bread. So, v'hatanya anodim natavshel asr b'chol minei tavshel v'asr b'tzli v'shalakum uvemevushal and asr b'hitriot rakot shachol nochlim behem pitan. So the Gemara says, and we have a braisa. So the, and meaning it's not, the hatanya over here is not a kasha, it's a support. Meaning this is a hey benichusa, a hatanya benichusa. The Bryce over here is supporting this idea that when we say the word tafshil, it's a reference to all soft foods. So, and it doesn't matter whether it was roasted or whether it was a shalak or mevushal, and you're not allowed to eat hitriot rakot. So, those are small little gourds. I'm not sure. Anyway, but the point is that when you're sick, so eat it together with bread. Okay, and again, that's the whole point over here. That when we say the word tafsha, we mean something that's eaten together with bread. So, iniva ha Rabbi Yomi achalash. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but at the same time, I'm bothered by the end of the Braisa. We said that when it comes to these small little gourds, they're excellent for the six people. And meanwhile, the Gemara says, I have a story to share with you. And that is Rabbi Yirmiyah got sick. And Alagabe Asya Isuya. So they called in the doctor. Now, this is going to sound very strange to us. By the way, the doctor made a house call. Okay. When did that ever happen? Okay. It used to be all the time. Okay. You're right. You remember the good old days. Good. So the Alagabe Asya Isuya. So the doctor comes in. And Chaza Kara Damachas Bevese. And what did the doctor see? So he saw Kara. So Kara, right, if you write your Semana Rosh Hashanah, everyone remember? So your Kara is basically a gourd. Okay, good. So he saw it in the house, the doctor. So Shafke Venafik. So what did the doctor do? So he ran out of the house. That's it. I'm not treating this guy, right? This is ridiculous. So Amr Malch Mavse Islan Ledein Bevese Va'anane La'ase Yase. The doctor was not at a loss in terms of how to articulate and how to describe how he felt. We knew exactly how he felt. The Malcham Avis is sitting right there in the house. The Malcham Avis in the form of a little gourd. That gourd is a Malcham Avis. So I don't understand. The person has no interest in helping himself. I'm not helping him. But meanwhile, in the story, right, and obviously I did not treat the story with the seriousness that it deserves, but in the story, what we certainly learned together is that the gourd is not good for somebody who's sick. So how does that work together in conjunction with the Braitza? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha habi rechicha habi yishune. So the Gemara says, yeah, there are gourds and there are gourds. There are different types of gourds. And so over here, obviously, I have no idea what the Gemara is describing over here. I barely even know what a gourd is, right? In Rosh Hashanah, squash, right? Right. I have a general idea. But anyway, the Gemara makes a distinction when it comes to soft gourds. I'm saying it over like the Ran. So when it comes to soft gourds, so that's good. That's very helpful. But when if it's a shune, so if they're hard gourds, so then that's no good. Okay, good. All right. Rava Barula Amar, the Gemara gives an additional answer. Habikra Gufe, Habigavi Dekra. It depends now if we take apart the gourd. So the when the doctor.
The Gemara says that it depends on if you're eating it with bread.
Yeah.
So if it's hard,
I understand. But the Gemara just is like a little bit on the sweeping tangent, meaning the whole point of the Braisa is that Tafshil is something that's eaten with bread. And at the end of the Braisa, punctuated with the fact that these are hitriot rakot, so that, you know, the Chol eats it. And then, as long as the Gemara mentioned, oh, you know, the Chol eats it, the Gemara says, yeah, but the story of the Rav Yirmiyah, that says it seems like the Chol does need it, and he shouldn't be eating it. So the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara's mechalik. And the Gemara gives another answer as well. So, Rava bar Ula Amar habikra gufei habi begavi dekra. It depends on whether or not we're talking about the actual gourd itself, or are we talking about gavi dekra, heart of gourd? Amr of Yehuda lulavi dekra. So if you open up your kra and you go to the heart of gourd, again, I'm only pretending like I know what I'm talking about. Okay, fine. But when you go to the heart of the gourd, so basilka, and you eat that together with a little bit of beets and lulavi dekitna, and if you eat the my brain stopped for just a moment. flax, right? Hemp, heart of hemp. So lulavi dekidna, so bekutcha, and you eat that together with cheese. And so these particular interiors, insides, inside of a gourd, inside of flax, so it's fantastic. And davazah salam rabifne amaharis. Now don't disseminate this information. Right, the last thing you want to do is popularize and publicize this information. You certainly don't want to record it and put it out there on the internet. Okay, that was just for me. So anyway, so the and the Ron writes on the bottom over here. Why don't you want to disseminate this information? Because what they're going to do is that basically once you tell them that the heart of the hemp is no good. The heart of the hemp is excellent. So what the masses are going to do is they're going to just take out the hearts. And take out all the quote unquote nutritional value of it. Okay, Rava Amar Manchol and Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, and let's get sorry. Let's go over one more answer. And that is, again, the Gemara is really treating this question super seriously. This is now the third answer to the question. And that in the Braisa, it says, that hitriot rakot, so cholim eat them with bread. And again, the whole point of the Braisa is just to tell us that tafshel is anything eaten together with bread. That was the point of the Braisa. But we were bothered because it sounds like these gourds are eaten by sick people. And meanwhile, Rav Yirmiyah's doctor said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And so how do we synthesize the Braisa with the doctor Rav Yirmiyah? So we already gave one answer, we gave a second answer, and the Gemara is now giving a third answer to this, and that is that in the Braisa, when we said the word chola, we didn't mean a sick person. What do we mean? Rabbanan. So the rabbis are, generally speaking, a more fragile segment of the population. Obviously, I'm sensitive to this, but okay, the Gemara says it, right? And the basic idea is that when you're a rabbi, meaning really what the Gemara is describing over here is a Talmid Chacham, meaning that when you're right, when you're Talmid Chacham, so you engage in Torah, Torah tashash kocho sha'adam, so what Torah does is that it weakens you. In other words, it's a general idea throughout Shas, and today's daf is no different. So so that's what the Braisa was talking about, meaning the Braisa was not giving any kind of medical advice. The Braisa was just simply saying that the cholin. But now we're going to understand it in this context. Cholim over here means chachamim, so they're the ones who are going to be eating these gourds. So Rava l'tamid amar Rava, the Gemara says that Rava is consistent, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, and that is kaman matzlinen al kitzirei v'al mirei. So nowadays, you know what we do? We have the strange minhag, we daven every day. Okay. Every day, and not just every day, by the way, three times a day we daven. Now, not only do we daven every day, but we have our bakashas. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for refuah, for parnasa, and you know, and there are right a little over a dozen things that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time we daven. This, what I'm describing, obviously, is Shmoneh Esrei. I know you all knew that. So what is so exciting that we do this every day? So it's a machlokas. Machlokas whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges once a year or he judges on a daily basis. So it's a machlokas tanaim. And it's a funny Gemara, because what it sounds like from the Gemara is that if we're on the other side of this issue, so then we should be davening every day, but in terms of bakashas, in terms of making personal requests, so we should do it once a year, meaning otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, okay, but nowadays the minhag is, when I say nowadays, meaning la'olam vad, meaning this is old, but the minhag nowadays is to daven every day and to insert bakashas every day. So the Gemara says, "Kaman matzlina katsir v'almirei, kaman k'Rav Yosi." So we fought like Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi is of the position that Adam dan bechol yom v'yom, every person is judged every day, and so therefore it's appropriate to make bakashas every day, as opposed to if I don't fall like Rav Yosi, so then when is it appropriate to make bakashas? Once a year. Okay. Now, I'm wondering out loud, in other words, if we are on the other side of this machlokas, so what does that mean? You're not davening Shmoneh Esrei every day? Unclear.
Maybe it's personal
bakashas. Right. maybe the personal bakashas you don't do. Okay, could be. Okay, regardless. Okay, in other words, but the Gemara over here is not making that point. The Gemara is just using this memra just to make a very subtle point. And that is, who are we davening for? We're davening for Katsirei, and we're davening for Mirie. So me da'amar kitzirei Mirie shmamina. So now kitzirei Mirie are two terms using to describe people who are ill and weaker. But why two terms? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So kitzirei mamish. So the kitzirei are people who are mamishik. And who are the Mirie? Meaning, if we already covered all the sick people, so what are the Mirie? So the Mirie are another population that are not sick, but are very delicate and fragile. And that's a reference to the Chachamim. That's Rabbanan. Okay. Anyway, the point is that we're just using this to just simply show that when we describe the population of Rabbanan, it's, in other words, in certain contexts, they're described as delicate, fragile, even cholim, even sick. Okay, good. All right, good. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. So again, the whole point of the Gemara is that Tavshel is anything which is basically loose and runny, and eaten together with bread. So when you make a neder against tafshel, so anything that's eaten in conjunction with bread is going to be aser, but anything eaten independently is going to be mutter. Good. And then we just got off on a tangent because we used the brisa to make this point very clear, but within the brisa, It also said that if you're sick and you're eating gourds, it's wonderful. And meanwhile, Rav Yirmiyah's doctor said, it's not wonderful. It's the opposite. It's the malcham of us. So the Gemara spent some time trying to now, trying to work out, how did you learn the Braisa, considering that Rav Yirmiyah's doctor, he has to be right. Okay, good. We are continuing. Mutar ba'ava. So we're back in the Mishnah, and that is that if I make a neder against Tavshil, so anything which is rach, anything which is loose is included in your neder. Anything which is thick and eaten by itself is not including your neder. So masnisin delo kebavlai. So our Mishnah is not following Babylonian practice. Okay, what is Babylonian practice? The Amar Rabbi Zera bavlai tifshai. Rabbi Zera says, you know, those Babylonians, and over here he is not saying it with any kind of with fondness. Bavlai tifshai. Right, this is an expression that Rabbi Zera says a couple times throughout Shas. The Gemara Ksuvah said we did not so long ago, the end of the Masechta, described that Rabbi Zera fled Bavel, went to Eretz Yisrael, okay, and he had it out with his Rebbe in terms of whether it was the right thing to do, not the right thing to do, okay, right, very good. His Rebbe Rav Yehuda was very unhappy that he made Aliyah. Okay, anyway, interesting Gemara in of itself. Anyway, so Rabbi Zera not lovingly says about the Babylonians, Bavlai Tifshai, those stupid Babylonians, Achle Lachma, Belachma. I'm telling you what they do. They eat their bread, and what do they use to accompany their bread? So basically, they use some form of hot cereal. But and so what they're doing is that they're dipping their bread in basically in a thick porridge. Okay. So good. So so meanwhile, our Mishnah says that if it's Ava, it's not included in the Neder, and that's not in practice, that's not in conjunction with the practice of the Babylonians. Okay, good. So I'm Rav Chista. Okay. So dipping your bread into your daisa, into your porridge. So I'm Rav Chista, Dimashalahon, Lahala Nakdani Dehutzal. So we ask questions of people who lived in the town of Hutzal. The Gemara described them as Nakdane Hutzal. Nakdane meaning the Medaktikin. Meaning they're basically the experts on etiquette. Okay? And Hadein Daisa Hechem Ala Lamechlei. So what's the best way to eat your Daisa? Okay, hot porridge used to be back in the day super popular. It's still popular. Right? You can't speak to me in terms of what is popular foods, but anyway, used to be super popular. So Dechite b'lachma, dechite desari b'lachma, desari yodilma, dechite b'desari, desari b'dechite. So are you eating your wheat bread with your barley porridge, or do you keep everything consistent? Are you having your wheat bread with your wheat porridge? So, Rava achle b'chasise. So did we get an answer to the question? No. So anyway, no, they asked the question. And I guess the question is just left unanswered. Rava achle bechasise. But the Gemara tells us, however, we know what Rava did. And that is that when he would have his bread, he would eat it together with chasise. So, it was a porridge that was made from roasted grains. Okay, good. Rava beravuna ashkeche le ravuna de ka'achl daise betzbase. Okay, so Rava beravuna, when he saw Ravuna, and that was obviously a description of his father, so how would he eat his daisa? He'd eat his daisa with his hands, with his fingers. Con los dedos, as my mother would say. So he says, no, that's a funny way to eat your porridge, to eat it with your fingers. So Amrele, hachi amarab, daisa betzbasa basim. He says, it makes it taste sweeter. Okay. Now, obviously over here, this is the Gemara we're learning, right? This is Torah. Right? Every word, every line, every word, every letter of the Gemara is a chelik of Torah. And so over here, right, despite the fact that this is going beyond my understanding in terms of what the Gemara is trying to teach us over here, in other words, it's not just etiquette, it's not just what is the right way to eat food, but there is obviously Torah value in every word that we're learning. So I'm just admitting my lack of understanding in terms of what exactly are the points over here in terms of the best way to eat your porridge, whether to be eating with your fingers or not. Rav Huna says that when he eats it, with his fingers. It makes it sweeter. V'chol d'chein betartan, v'chol d'chein betlas. You use two fingers, you use three fingers. It's even better. So Amar le Rav lechia b'rei v'chein Amar le Rav huna le Rav b'rei mezamna lemechel daisa. So ad parsa. So you're invited to go eat daisa. So you travel to eat it, and you go a parsa. Okay, that's a long distance. In other words, good. It's worth it. It's worth the travel time to eat daisa. And lemechel bisra detura tell some parson, and if you're invited to eat Torah, in other words, ox, right, roasted ox. So for that, you're going to be traveling three parsa, right? In other words, if you're going to have a steak, if you're invited to a good steak, it's good to travel even further. So Amar le Rav lechia b'rei v'chein Amar le Rav huna le Rav b'rei. Advice given from the father to the son. Rav said this to his son Chia. Noted already a number of times that Rav's uncle was Chia, otherwise known as Rebbe Chia, and he named his son after his uncle. So and Rav huna says it also to his own son as well. Rabba kol midam. So lo tiflo kami Reb Chala bar min krav daisa. So don't spit in front of your Rebbe. In the good old days, right, spitting was common. It was a much more common practice, right? In the old West, right? So they had these bowls that you spat into. So good. So that was, there used to be the minute. But when you're in front of your Rebbe, obviously it's disrespectful. So as a function of kavod harav, so you're not going to spit in front of your Rebbe, with notable exception. So when you're eating gourd and when you're eating daisa, when you're eating this porridge, so it's important that you spit. Okay, exactly when we're spitting, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's important that you spit. And so, so Shehein, Domun Lepsil Shaever, Ve'afil Kame Shvor Malkapala. In other words, for whatever reasons, for reasons that I do not understand nor can articulate. But if you do not spit, it's like eating lead. And so therefore, in other words, it's a sakana. And so even though there has to be a kavod harav, but in the face of sakana, so you spit. And even if you're in front of a king, you're going to spit. After eating kra and after eating daisa. In other words, I'm coming for actually not understanding the minhagim. Meaning it was a food that was eaten, but part of the eating process. You're spitting something out. Okay, again, if you and I were sitting down at the table and eating with them, we'd understand this a lot better. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, chadachal daisa betzbasev, chadachal behutza. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, okay, we're now back at the Tanayim. So they were eating now their daisa. One was eating with their fingers, which we already complimented earlier this morning. And the other one was eating with a hutzah. Now I'd say a hutzah is a spoon, it's not a spoon. In other words, it was a leaf of a tree. Right? A frond. And that basically served as a spoon. I'd say like chopsticks, but in other words, much softer. So I'm really dachal behutza ledachal betz b'asay ad masay tamachal and so ascha. So the I know it's rough. Okay, they spoke to each other, you know, and they were honest with each other. They were blunt with each other, and so he says, "Look, you're eating with your fingers. That's disgusting." In other words, did you see what's under your fingernails? And now you're eating with your fingers, and your fingers are going to go back in the bowl. So I'm really dach. Presumably. So Amar le Da'acha Betzbasai le Da'acha Behutza and Masai Ata Machilin Rokha. So he says, you know, it's funny. I'm going to come back right at you, and you know how much am I going to have to be eating your spit? In other words, what you're doing is you're double dipping. Now, the Ron says this. Obviously, we have to make a distinction between the two. In other words, when you're eating with your fingers, so you're also double dipping, right? So the Ron says no, because when you're eating with your fingers, what you're doing is you're wiping your fingers in between each time. Okay, right. So, okay, good. excuse me. The hutzah, on the other hand, so that doesn't get wiped down in between. The hutzah was very delicate; it was very fragile, so it wasn't wiped down in between. So basically, with the hutzah, so you put it in your mouth in order to eat the daisa, and then you put it right back in again. And so basically, the spit's going right back into the bowl. Okay, so each one was unhappy with the other ways eating. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Eisel Kamai, Belufsin. Okay, so the Ranik describes them as being basically figs, and they don't digest well. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Achal, Rabbi Shimon Lo Achal. So, right, as you would imagine, machlokas, whether or not they should be eaten or they should not be eaten. Rabbi Yehuda opted to eat it. Rabbi Shimon opted not to eat it. So Amar Li Rabbi Yehuda, Man Tamei Lo Achal Mar. So Rabbi Yehuda wants to understand, Rabbi Shimon, what's your thought process? So Amar Li Rabbi Shimon, Elu Ein Yosef Mibnei Maim Kol Iker. He says they don't digest, and so therefore they're not leaving your stomach. And yeah. And I want food that's digestible. So Amar Li Rabbi Yehuda Kol Shekein Shenismach Aleim LaMachar. So Rabbi Yehuda says I can counter argument. And that is, if they don't digest well, that means they're going to be sitting in your stomach and they're going to satiate you for a longer period of time? Okay, good. Rabbi Yehuda, Havi Yosef, Kami, the Rabbi Tarfon, Amalei, Rabbi Tarfon, Hayom Panecha Tzuhuvim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in front of Rabbi Tarfon, Nu. So Rabbi Tarfon says to the Talmud, you know, today, you look radiant. So Amalei, Emesh Yatsu Avadecha L'Sade, Vehevi Olan Etzradim, So he says, I'll tell you why. Diet explains my radiance. So yesterday, we had an opportunity to eat beets, and we did, and we happened to eat them without salt. Now, you want to see radiance, by the way. If we had salt, eat the beets together with the salt, we'd look even more radiant. Amri Matronusala Reb Yehuda. Okay. So, typically, the Matronusa is somebody who's not Jewish. In other words, a dignitary woman. And she turns to Rabbi Yehuda and she wants to understand. And she says, Amr la him nusa biade da'isisa. The itaimna ela kidusha va'abdalta. Sorry. So the more verave. So she accused him of being more. That's an accusation, meaning he's a more. He's a more halacha. Right, so in other words, not only is he a Rav, but he's a Mora Halacha, the Pasim's Halacha. And that's not the accusation. The accusation is Verave. And it also seems like you're drunk. Okay, she accuses him of being drunk. All right, he had a certain complexion, he had a certain look about him that made him look drunk. So Amar La, so he says back to her, Himnusa biade de Yisisa yi taimna ela kidusha v'avdalta v'arbe kasat de pizcha. He says, I have no tolerance for alcohol. Right, Phil, I promised you this earlier this morning. Here's the Gemara. I have zero tolerance for alcohol. In fact, here's what I do. So I'll have wine for Kiddush. I'll have wine for Avdalah. Okay, so that's two times a week where I can handle it. And Pesach. So obviously there's a mitzvah of Dal Kosis on Pesach. So you got to drink four cups of wine. That's it. And even those four cups that I drink on Pesach, so v'chugani tzidai. So basically I'm giving a modern definition, but I get a migraine headache. And it lasted how long? So mina pesach adat saris. Basically a 50-day migraine after drinking my dal kosos. Okay, often is the time Rabbanim are asked. I'm not a rav, but the Rabbanim are asked often. In other words, I don't like wine. Do I drink dal kosos? I know Phil. You can ignore the question. You don't even understand where the question begins. Okay, good. Enjoy. So the Rav is asked, you know, I don't do well with wine. Can I drink it? So again, depending on who's asking the question, but our Gemara over here certainly is of the position that even if it's not the most comfortable, if you don't really particularly enjoy wine, but still it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah to drink dal kosos. So when the mitzvah presents itself, so then you do so. Right. Clearly, back in the day, by the way, grape juice was not even it wasn't on the table. It wasn't an option. Right. Grape juice is a more modern invention.
You could have had the Kiddush and Avdalah made by somebody else.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. It's a good observation. Okay. So basically, what he says is that I have no tolerance for wine. So in other words, her accusation, the Matronisa says to Rabbi Yehuda, look, you look drunk, and aren't you not supposed to be drunk? And he says, no, I'm not drunk. In fact, I don't drink wine. Kiddush, Avdalah, Dal Kosos, those are the exceptions. So Ela Chachmas Adam Tari Panav. So do you know why I look the way I do? Chachmas Adam. Because I've gained over the course of my lifetime a certain amount of Chachma. So I always look this way. I always look, quote unquote, radiant. But it has nothing to do with my imbibing of any kind of alcohol. Similar story the Gemara tells over here. A tzeduki goes over to Rabbi Yehuda, and the tzeduki says to Rabbi Yehuda, you look like either you lend with interest, or you look like you raise pigs. Okay, both of those enterprises don't involve a lot of work. The raising of the pigs, by the way, I'm just not following. Meaning, it sounds like a lot of work, but The Gemara's assumption over here is that both of these enterprises do not involve a lot of work. A lot of profit, not a lot of work. Okay. You see people like that all the time, right? They're making a lot of money. They don't seem to be doing a whole lot. Good. So anyway, so Rav Yehuda was accused of such. So, and by the way, obviously, the Tzaduki was trying to get under the skin of Rav Yehuda. That part obviously is clear. In other words, these are two accusations of types of businesses that Jews are not allowed to do. And in fact, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda says to Tzaduki. Amar lei b'Yehudai tarvayu asirin. He says, let me remind you, right? I'm Jewish and both of those practices are prohibited. I have a really good feeling that Tzaduki knew that already. He was just trying to get under his skin. So Ella Esrim Varba Besakisa Isli, I mean Besad Bez Midrasha Vachosha Vashani Nichnas Vacholecha Vechan. 24 outhouses between here and the Beis Medrash. I stop in every one of them, and basically I look this good because of my frequent usages of the bathroom. Okay, good. Rav Yehuda Kadazal Bay Midrasha Shakal Gufal Katfe. Rav Yehuda, when he would go to the Beis Medrash, so what he would do is that he would take some sort of jug, and Amar Gedola Malacha Shemechad Beres is Bala. So he says, look, in other words, it's good to do a little bit of what you and I would call exercise. It's good. Mechabedes es bala. It gives cover to its owner. And on top of that, when he gets to the base medrash, what he's going to do, he's going to be able to sit on it. In other words, he'll have a seat. Right? Back in the day, the Gemara in the second parak of Megillah, beginning of the second parak of Megillah, talks about how when they learned Torah, so it used to be the minhag was that everyone would stand when they would learn Torah. And then, right, what happened is that you read us Adoros. With every generation that comes and goes, so we drop down a level. And eventually we all got down to sitting, and back then sitting meant on the floor. Okay? Seats and benches. Okay? In other words, over the course of years, practices have changed in terms of what exactly are our sitting practices, right? Even as recently as the Gemara, I say recently, I'm taking a long-term look at history. But as recently as the Gemara, meaning when they sit down to eat a meal, they wouldn't sit in a chair like you and I sit. In other words, they would lie down on a bench in order to eat. Okay, anyway, so he brought you, so to us it sounds like a pretty good idea to bring a chair into the Beis Medrash. But anyway, he brought a chair into the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara tells a second story similarly. Rabbi Shimon Shakal Sana Al Katfei, I'm a Gedola Malacha Shemecha Beres Es Bala. So again, by bringing the basket into the base registry, now he's going to have a chair to sit on. Divasai de Rav Yehuda Nafkas Nakta Amra. Avda Glima Dehutva. Okay, and we're going to finish today with the following story. And that is the Rav Yehuda's wife. So what she would do is that she went out to the market and she bought wool. And Avda Glima Dehutva. And what she did is that she made a coat out of the wool. And kanafka l'shuka, and when she went out to the market, so michsabe, so she used it to cover herself. Okay, in other words, a coat. And the kanafik Rav Yehuda l'tzulie. Now Rav Yehuda went to shul, and what he needed a coat. Happened to be that his wife had a coat. So ave michsay umatzle. No, perfect. He borrowed his wife's coat. Good. I already see the question coming up. We'll get to it in just a moment. The kan michsay be have mevarich baruch shatani meil. And he was so excited about the coat. It provided him protection and comfort. He actually made a bracha. He made the bracha with Shema Malchus. Hard to imagine, but that certainly sounds that way. That he made a formal bracha. Okay. The Torah says that one is not allowed to wear the clothing of a woman. Right? Parshas Kiseitse. Devarim Perichav Beis. So the Torah says, Lo yekli gever alisha v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha. So cross-dressing is an Isser in the Torah. So what's going on over here? So the Bach, right? This is a famous Bach. Famous again. Everything's famous when I know it, right? If I don't know it, it's not famous. So the Bach writes that, in other words, there's something called what you and I describe as unisex clothing. In other words, when the Torah gives a prohibition of men not wearing women's clothing, that means clothing that's tailored for women and designed for women and sported by women. So, but if something is like, let's say, an overcoat, which is used by, and it's non-gender specific, so the Bach says that's not going to be a violation of the Torah. And so in our Gemara over here, when we're describing the wool coat that was shared by husband and wife, so over here we're talking about something that was unisex. That's the I don't remember. The Bach uses our Gemara as a raya. I do not remember. Okay, anyway, but the Bach says it, and it's quoted. It's quoted very often, and our Gemara over here would certainly be a wonderful raya for that Bach. Okay. There's a targum like that. Targums like that. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. A lighter daf, by the way. It's, in other words, we've had a lot of heavier dafim recently, so today's for sure going to be a lighter daf. It was a lighter daf. Let's quickly recap and review. Okay, in other words, a one-sentence summary of today's daf is that when it comes to neder, hochanach halashem b'nei adam, you make a neder and you're banning from yourself certain things. So what things are you banning? So you're going to be using words, and we're going to be using current definitions of those words. Whatever is the common understanding of the words that you use, so that's what you meant by the neder. And even if it's not consistent with how the Torah uses that word, still, when it comes to nedarim, hochanach halashem b'nei adam. That is a one-sentence summary of today's daf. And then, just a little bit more, so what we discuss is that a person made a neder from mevushal, which means that the food has to be cooked if it was roasted or parboiled, so that's not including the neder. Then we went over tafshil. Tafshil is anything loose and runny and eaten together with bread. So that's included in your neder. If it's something that's eaten by itself, not with bread, that is not in your neder. Maisa kedera. Maisa kedera is anything cooked in a pot. And then finally, the fourth thing mentioned in the Mishnah is anything that's yored l'socha kedera. So even pot roast would be aser. And then over the course of today's daf, we were really treated today to an assortment of minhagim and practices of foods and manners of eating and etiquette. And it was a lighter and certainly easier daf to navigate. Adkan.